This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What's going on, everyone? Jetta Cameron, John Rich. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you off and rolling on this Friday morning as we broadcast, as we do every Friday, from the wonderful, phenomenal, spectacular Borgata. Look, we wish we could say the same thing about our Phillies team, but they are they're donezo and have been, obviously, for about 36 hours now. Look, it's a day two reaction, as we all know, to the awful end of the Philly season. What happened, why it happened, and where they go from here. I guess the three main things to get into, not to mention the emotional edge, which is obviously still incredibly raw, I think, for all of us. So, look, we'll mix some Eagles in, of course, but it's going to still be heavy on the Phillies today. 8 o'clock today, we give away Eagles-Browns tickets, so that's pretty cool. Try to pep you up with the chance to win Eagles-Browns tickets in 2 hours. Your phone calls all show, 215-592-9494. Rich.
Hello, Joe.
Hello there, Johnny.
Not all spiders make webs. You know, this time of year, you go out, you see big, fancy, fake spider displays, and there's usually webs.
Yeah.
Only about half the spiders out there make webs to catch their prey. The other half, they construct other things to catch their prey. All spiders make silk. But only half make webs.
Well, if a web's a mess, the Phillies are a web-making mess because they have
nailed it.
They bungled it, my man. All right, so look, let me just say this before we go any further. Yesterday, right around this time, and I'm not making this up, within about 30 seconds, we had what we call in our industry a full board of phone calls. meaning people were so irate, you know, rightfully so, that all the calls were jammed and no one could then get in for a long, long time. So if you wanted to get in yesterday and couldn't at this time because you called and got a business signal, right now is the time to call at 215-592-9494 to weigh in. And I think, in more than anything, get it off your chest. But obviously approach this thing with, you know, whatever form of conclusions you got that also move toward the future, like where to go from here. So a couple things out of the gate. First off, obviously the bitter disappointment lingers and will for a tremendous amount of time, maybe our whole lives. These things get easier if you eventually win a title, but, you know, the bottom line is if they don't win a title, this thing's always going to be a remarkable disappointment. I got to tell you, I'm honestly not shocked. I'm bitterly disappointed, but I'm not shocked. Three things. Number one, upsets happen in baseball all the time. It's a frustrating reality, but it's true. Number two, guys, we saw this team be average for 4 months. Average.
Yeah.
Average for 4 months. And number three, they had a flawed lineup, and we knew it. We knew that. I mean, John, we knew they had a flawed lineup, right? I mean, come on. Like, we didn't think the bullpen was going to fall apart.
We knew they had a flawed lineup, but we thought they figured out ways to counteract that. Like, we thought that the last two postseasons they had been lamenting over for the last couple years that they would come up with better strategies to utilize the talents that we do have.
Well, let me ask you this question, John, and this is a serious question to get into because this ultimately gets to a large extent where I want to move the show today as to what should the Phillies do. And I got six players' names written down that I think are the juiciest as far as should they stay or should they go. Those players are Bohm, Stott, Castellanos, Trey Turner, JT Realmuto, and Ranger Suarez. Now, if you notice, I don't have Marsh and Rojas in there because I think we all know they got to upgrade there. Maybe Marsh is a fourth outfielder. Maybe Rojas is a fourth outfielder. But these guys shouldn't be real starters. The juicy ones are the five main starters, Bohm, Stott, Casty, Trey, and JT. And then Ranger, who, look, we all love Ranger, but the lack of length, particularly in October, is an issue. John, here's my question to you based on what you just said. Thinking that the lineup was going to approach things different, of these five players, Bohm, Stott, Casty, Trey, and JT, who did you think was going to approach it different? I mean, no one thought Rojas was going to approach it different.
I didn't think Alec Bohm would melt down the way that he did. I thought he was past that. You know, that I thought that the I hate this place thing, you know, that 2 years ago, I that was out of his system. And then this season was such a shock to my system that he took a step in such the wrong direction emotionally or something. Just look around. Trey Turner is a bigger problem.
That's right.
Than Alec Bohm is.
That's
even
right.
Though I think Alec Bohm is a devastating problem, that he's got the attitude he's bringing, because I think it's pervasive, and I think it's part of the, you know, that spreading through the clubhouse is part of what's going to get you losing in the postseason. But Trey is $300 million.
Yeah.
He is falling with a whimper before our very eyes at the plate, and it disgusts me. And then I think, but what are we supposed to do about it? Because no one wants that contract. He represents the big spend flaws of this team. And then I get more angry. Then I get more frustrated with everything, because it feels like they've almost moved into Sixers territory, where it's like, shut up and show me now. Yeah. I don't believe what you say. Nothing the organization at this point, nothing the organization says is going to make me feel better. I need you to show me this offseason that you're committed to fixing the flaws that this team continues to demonstrate in the postseason. And you need to show me, starting at spring training next year through the year, that you care about the fundamentals that of this game as much as we do. Like, make the pitchers work.
Yeah.
See some pitches out there. Be situationally aware, please. And by the way, be mentally tough, please. The Mets, the worst part about this entire postseason is the Mets wanted it worse than we did. Can you believe that? The Mets, the New York Mets, wanted it worse than the Philadelphia Phillies did. And that was so obvious, painfully obvious, with every game played.
Look, I agree with everything you said, perhaps until the very end. I don't know if it was a matter of want. I think the Phillies got into a bad structure offensively, which we see teams get into, this one in particular. I think they emotionally did struggle to get out of it. They were not resilient. They were not. You know, one of the things that really strikes me is, when you try to figure out what to do, there's an argument against getting rid of a bunch of these guys. And here's the thing I would say, just a cautionary tale, and I guess I'm more saying this to the Phillies, but I'll say it to everyone listening who's obviously, we're all fans. I would encourage people to be careful with going for a pound of flesh just because you want it, and that's why you got to dump a guy. Like, let me give you a for instance. I would be much more inclined to keep Alec Bohm than Nick Castellanos. Now, I know right now the inclination is, well, Bohm was a disaster in September and October, and Castellanos wasn't, so therefore keep Castellanos. But for 6.5 months, the reality is Bohm was better. I mean, that is a fact. That is a fact. I mean, statistically, he was just flat out better. So I would be very, very careful about moving off of Bohm and keeping Castellanos.
You have to move off of Alec Bohm. Such a head case. Look, I don't know, and I don't know what the deal is. I don't know what's going on exactly, but we see there's plenty that's wrong with whatever he's doing.
I know.
And if that can get fixed, then you know, I take that back. But we can't go. I thought we were past all this. Like I said, I thought the "I hate this place" was out of his system. And now we find out that there's a lot more where that came from, and this was dysfunctional this year. It actually affected the way that he played.
No, I think it did in October. I think that's right. You know, one of the biggest problems, and John, you touched on it earlier. I mean, Trey, to me, is the number one guy I'd like to dump.
Mm-hmm.
But he's the hardest guy to dump.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy still has almost $300 million on his deal. It's still coming to him for 9 years.
To me, he represents the the disgusting way that we lost this postseason.
I totally agree.
He represents lie down and just give up feeling. That right. factor that I got from our team, he is the personification. Like, the way that he just weakly swung and meekly went out and just gave in and gave up. Like, that was my perception of Trey Turner. And I don't know if that's because the $300 million just keeps hanging and blinking in the corner of my eye like a little devil on my shoulder. But that does factor in.
Look, there's no question. So what to do is a big part of day two reaction, because we do start moving it forward to a certain extent. And look, it's going to take a couple weeks to unpack this. I mean, a big thing still is whether Rob Thompson should stay or go. We had a poll yesterday, 51% of respondents, and we get thousands of people that respond to these polls. 51% said keep him, 49% said fire him. Obviously, you can weigh in. And the big thing we'd ask you is why or why not. on whichever side you choose, to keep him or to fire him, 215-592-9494. But I really also don't want to lose the emotional edge of things, which I think would be impossible to lose because it is still so raw for all of us about 36 hours from this thing ending. Devin, you were not with us yesterday. Your reaction emotionally, intellectually, whichever way you want to take it, to the Philly season crumbling so fast.
You know, we spend 3 hours a day with these guys from, what, the end of March through October, or past October if we're lucky. And this season in particular, we hear over and over and over again that they're just thinking about October, thinking about World Series. You know, this is the year. And for them to go out like that is, it's something that I don't think my brain has comprehended yet. I keep vacillating between anger and sadness. Because it is sad, you know, like I mentioned, we watch these guys for hours every day and we have all these high hopes, no pun intended, for them. And then they go out with a whimper to the Mets like that. They played scared. They were embarrassing. It was pathetic. I think they need to make massive changes this offseason while also kind of trying to maintain their core.
That part's tough.
And it's tough. It is going to be a big conversation and discussion, very difficult to figure out. I think we start, you mentioned the Sixers, we start to enter that, you know, every time the Sixers get knocked out in the second round or before the second round, we hear, blow it all up and start over. Well, if you blow it up and start over, then you're blowing it up and starting over. Like, you still have to keep the same core of guys, and that's why I'm sure we'll talk about throughout the show, I don't think that they should let go of Rob Thompson, because you don't want to bring the team back even farther, right? You want to make moves that maintains the identity of the team, but just improves it.
Well, it's interesting you say that at the end, because a lot of people think they need to change their identity. And maybe they do. I mean, you know, so let me tell you this. And again, phone lines for everyone, 215-592-9494. Ruben Amar is going to be on the show today. And I'm really looking forward to having him on starting at 7, and he'll be with us for 3 hours. Because he's been literally the general manager when this kind of thing happened. A couple different times. Where it's like, you know, you had a really good team. Now, they didn't play like a really good team for 4 months, but for 6 months, I mean, the record says, you know, they were one of the three or four best teams in baseball. That's a fact. All right. So you had a good team. You had a chance to win a World Series. You played bad in October. So what do you do? Like, that is the conundrum. And again, I think pound of flesh is the right term. There's a lot of people that want pound of flesh, but you also got to be smart about it, and you have major contracts that still linger that complicate moving off of guys. And then the guys that aren't the major contracts, namely Ranger and Bohm and Stott, are, you know, the small contracts that, you know, let's be real, frankly, give the Phillies more value than other guys that make seven times more money than them. All right, and are still developing players to an extent. And, of course, you never want to be a team that just starts dumping young players if they're going to have bright futures. 215-592-9494. So we'll ask Ruben at 7, you know, that mix as a general manager, how you evaluate that. Obviously, emotional edge, I think, is still the main thing. I'll also ask you this question. Are you actually truly shocked? And I want you to think about that. Are you actually truly shocked? I sense almost everybody is. I'm not. Because they were a flawed team for 4 months playing average baseball, and upsets happen in the playoffs all the time. Where are you standing? But I mean, I am incredibly.
And the Mets were better. The Mets were better the last 4 months of the season.
They were.
Like, I don't know if it was as much of an upset. They only won 5 more games over the 162 than the Phillies.
Right.
And the Mets went like 70-40 over the last 110. Like, they were just better.
And that's the thing. I think a lot of people are shocked, but I'd almost say, like, should you be? But, guys, I get it. I know. You put your heart and soul into it. We all do. We're all incredibly disappointed. Well, this is a WIP morning show, and it's a sad one. You know, John, I hate to say it, but I was thinking, you know, we had a caller about 2 weeks ago said maybe you should crank up a song, you know, because you pull out that that guitar sometimes and play some tunes for us.
Oh, that's right.
You create tunes. And I thought, well, we missed the mark on the fun, exciting times with the Phillies, so maybe we need a sad.
A lamentation?
Yes. I mean,
little Sounds of Silence or something?
Well, Sounds of Silence doesn't work on radio if it's actually silent.
No, but, this song Sounds of Silence.
No, I'm with you, James. John, crying maybe? Crying.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of
what's the
saddest song I can think of.
So think about
I'll work on it.
I mean, look, next week, obviously, guys, we're going to start shifting it more toward the toward the Eagles, obviously. And let's really hope that they come out late. And let me just say this about the Birds, and then we'll get right to the phones. Here's what I feel like I need as a Philadelphia sports fan this week. And this is going to sound weird saying more than a win. I need a good win. I need a good win.
Professional.
Yeah,
like where we come out saying, damn, the Eagles look good today.
Right. Like, I don't think they've had anything but an excuse-me win since the early part of last year.
Miami. Like, last year, they won by two touchdowns. I'm pretty sure that's the last time they won by more than a touchdown.
And that was maybe week 6 or 5 or 7 or something like that. Like, come on. Like, you're playing the Browns. You're a big favorite. Go win a game convincingly. Because in the end, that's the only thing that will convince us they're truly elite.
Win a game with elite planning. Like, let's see some neat stuff.
I agree.
Like, remember when we had Shane Steichen in town? Remember when we had coaches who would mix things up and we would say, wow, that's a cool wrinkle.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that creativity's awesome.
Especially
wow,
coming
we really
off a bye
surprised
week.
Everyone. Exactly. We just deconstructed this team. We didn't have a ton of, like, normally you got close to half a season to unpack. You know, they had a month. They had a month worth. Let's see what else you came up with to maximize the players that we have to work with on this team.
I'm with you. All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. So if you want to sprinkle the Eagles in, obviously we can. And boy, could we use a good win from them. But also the Phillies, heaviest, obviously, 2 days removed from the loss. Let's kick it off with Tony in West Philadelphia. Tony, good morning, buddy.
Good morning, Steph. How y'all doing this morning?
We're doing all right.
Listen, there's enough blame to go around, but to me, as I evaluate a team, I look at every aspect of my team, and the biggest deficiency I see is their inability to play small ball, not just putting a player on base, but having a threat while he's on base. And to your colleague's point, that makes the pitcher work. I mean, he worked harder because he's constantly looking over his shoulder because he got the threat of the man stealing. And when you watch the games last night, you see them, it's not about home runs, moving the players around the bag. And I think as a manager, you have to assess everything. Where's my weaknesses? And until you bring players in that are threats to move around the bags, I think we're in the same position 3 years in a row. You can't just, there's an old saying in football, you live by the pass, you die by the pass. Why? Because you have to be a balanced offense. And this team is imbalanced. And
no, they're not.
The
you're right.
I see.
No, you're right.
Tony,
the only caveat I'd say to you is I think it's less about base stealing and base disruption than situational hitting. I mean, if you actually look at the stats, Trey Turner and Stott actually stole a decent amount of bags this year. They both, I think, got around 30. That's not bad. Other guys get a couple, here and there, JT and others. I just think the biggest issue is when I got – there was a moment in the game, game four. I think it was Castellanos. I could be wrong. Guy was on second, nobody out. The announcer says, this player's job, he's got to get the guy from second to third. You got to get that runner.
It was Castellanos.
Right?
It was after the Harper double. You're exactly
right. And he didn't. And, that to me is more important, Tony, than, going and stealing the extra 20 bags a year. Because if you get that guy to third, now he's on third with one out, and you should be able to get that run. And I think that's a lot more important. But, look, I'm not eschewing what you're saying. Ideally, they'd have more team speed. I agree. I think we all know that. But, man, there's a lot of big issues, and I think it starts with the hitting. Let's go to Patrick in Tabernacle. Patrick, good morning.
Hey, everybody. Yeah, listen. Hey,
Boy, Patrick, you still sound really down.
Yeah, I couldn't even call. I was thinking, you guys, man, what a job you guys had to get up and go to work yesterday and talk about that turd of a series.
Well, you sign up for it. You sign up for it all.
And it's very rare that there are days where we're not excited to come in. That was one of few, Patrick.
But, listen, I know Seltzer always says, you hit more home runs, you win in the playoffs, and there's stats to, support that. But the guy Tony just said, there's a lot. Everybody can take some blame on this. Except for Castellanos and Harper, as far as I'm concerned.
And Wheeler, obviously.
Oh, Wheeler, too.
Yeah. But if you're saying that
he's just talking the bats, I think he's just talking about the bats.
With the bats, and yeah, if you're John Middleton, man, I'd need to go up on top of the mountain somewhere. Just sit up there for a while. I'm still just shocked. I'm not even, the stages of grieving all that. I'm just, I saw what I saw, and I still can't. therapeutic.
All right, so Patrick, let me take that on with you for a second, because I'm not shocked, and I want to tackle that with you. So tell me why you're shocked when you consider upsets happen in baseball all the time. Phillies were average for 4 months, and as James said, even for the totality of the season, the Mets only had 5 less losses. It'd be like a 12-win football team losing an 11-win football team in the playoffs.
It's literally exactly what it's like.
It's kind of what it is. So tell me why you're shocked.
I thought a switch was hit. I kind of bought into the fact Harper steps up and we'll, you know, we win game two. And
doesn't
and
work
like,
that
I
way.
Just clinging. I know, Joe. That sucks being a fan. I'm like,
I know. It is.
Another team, I could see it. You could see it in their eyes. I'm an eyes guy. Look at their eyes. And number one on my list is Bohm. He's out of here, man. Like other than that, I'm not going to go, this guy's, you know, that.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I don't want Bohm here, man. Like,
I don't either.
When it's crunch time, your body language, your eyes, your mannerism. And one thing I'm going to say about Cassie, what I learned about him, dude, this guy shows up. And I think I better be careful here when I say, like, I think I kind of turned a page with him. You know,
well, I did too. I did too.
You and me both.
Patrick, I agree, but here's the conundrum with him. He really wasn't very good for about 4 months, and I just like, do we want to fall back in that trap again?
Once again, Joe, he carried this team for durations during the season.
Yep.
Last year, he carried this team.
But he was
also
horrible.
I know, and it drove me nuts, but this guy comes to play. This guy shows up every day. He's the first guy.
He played all 162 games.
Yeah.
And he's an unsung
hero.
He
refuses to sit down, which initially I was annoyed with, but it's like, hey, I appreciate a guy who really wants it, who really, like, more than anything else, he just wants to be out there with his teammates, and he wants to work. He wants to work in the cage. And the reason I know that is because he was out there before every single game. 162 and then some with the playoffs. This guy works like no one's business, and it really feels like it's finally paying off.
I like Castellanos. I really came to really appreciate him, particularly
the
last week. I thought he was team spokesman.
I did not
He was one of the hitters that stepped up. John, let me ask you a question, though. If he works the way – and I'm not saying he doesn't work the way you say he does, but if it's as effective as you say it is, explain to me how Bohm this year had a higher batting average, on-base percentage, and slugging percentage.
Alec Bohm was unbelievable this year. Alec Bohm for – a portion of the year. That's what's so
he's so the guy to dump because he had a bad September and October. He's the guy to dump?
Alec Bohm is the guy to dump, not because he had a bad September and October, because he is so abysmally
lost,
maligned and lost, yes, that he is going to bring the rest of this team down with him. And I thought it was gone. I thought he learned how to fix it. It's such a shame that he is this immature, and we learned that he was not capable of fixing it the way that we thought he was.
All right, 215-592-9494. Coming up, something about Philadelphia sports. I'm guessing a lot of people don't know what it is. We'll tell you next. Plus, Alec Bohm. We're going to play some audio, I guarantee, that's going to make most people want him to be more out than in. It's not good. What he said after the game, it's not good. And there's no defending it. So I had my fantasy basketball draft last night.
You play fantasy basketball?
Oh, yeah. Dominant. Dominant. All right, James, I don't know if you can hear it, but we hear audio in the background.
Didn't you quit on your season in fantasy basketball last
year?
No,
that was baseball.
Oh.
Yeah, because apparently you had to field 26 players, and I was like, come on. All right, enough. So Ben Simmons and James Harden this year.
What? On your team?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, wow.
None of those bumps. Don't worry. I was actually tempted on Harden, but it wasn't going there. All right, let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin's got the new 2025 Chevy Trax. It's in stock now, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. First poll question, which of these players do you think is most likely to not be a Philly next year? Not your personal preference, but the player you think the organization is most likely to either want to move off of or, put another way, be able to move off of. A, Alec Bohm, B, Nick Castellanos, C, Bryson Stott. We all know they're probably going to do something different. We all know there's an argument against everybody traded, being traded, but someone's probably going to go Bohm, Casty, Stott. Who do you think's most likely amongst them? Second poll question. We're kind of inverting it now. This is more your opinion of what you'd rather have. Of these two, who would you rather have on the Phillies next year, Bohm or Castellanos? Rhea, where do you come down on that? Bohm or Casty, who you would prefer stay?
I would say Castellanos.
You trust him more?
I learned to this year. He's one of the one guys I think we could rely on. Bohm, there's something going on there.
Something's weird there.
And, you know, and my concern is, you know, it's also with the coaching staff is, you know, what younger players, the pitching staff aside, you know, Jane's pointed out yesterday, Christopher Sanchez has gotten better. The young players, positional players on this team have not.
No.
So I'm concerned that, you know, maybe there's not messaging getting through there. It doesn't seem like it with Bohm
for the
regression.
It didn't. All right, by the way, one thing about Philadelphia sports, you know, some people know, many people know, but I'm guessing many people don't. The Flyer season starts tonight.
Hold on, Joe. What am I wearing?
I like it. Good I'm wearing a Flyer shirt.
Good
Joe, you went there this
Canucks
morning.
10 o'clock.
Yep. Rhea's got the Flyers. Is that a sweatshirt? I'm looking.
Sweatshirt, yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
I am wearing a Flyers t-shirt today. Let's go.
It is.
I've turned the page.
Now, James, I will say, and you know my theory, and next time Jonesy's in the studio, we got to ask him. My theory is they play four games out west because the Flyers want it that way because they think they're going to be buried in a sea of red in October.
Wasn't it the same,
theory,
same way last
it's
year?
It's a really good theory.
It was exactly because the same way last year. It was it the year before also?
Well, that's why I'm convinced
multiple
it's the Flyers'
years.
Choice. There's no way in the NHL would stick to Flyers with that multiple years in a row and not be the Flyers' choice.
Well,
no
how they, at least how they used to do it, is the state, like the arena, so Wells Fargo Center will submit their dates and, you know, what they have lined up. So I'm sure Red October played into that, but... Turns out they could have had all home games.
They could have been front center.
Would have been just fine.
7 o'clock tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, and you guys know my theory. Even if the Phillies were playing, I still think a 10 o'clock start is a disaster for a season.
Oh, it's terrible.
No.
All right. Also, speaking of terrible, one more thing, and then back to the phones. I don't want to spend a ton of time on Devin White because, frankly, it's not warranted. He's kind of yesterday's news. They cut him a couple days ago. But I do want to revisit one more time something Michael Clay said about him about 2 weeks ago. Because, John, when we heard this, we were like, what in the world? All right, Michael Clay, Eagles special teams coordinator. Devin White had obviously been beaten out of a starting job, but was deactivated game by game. Now, he's since been cut. But let's go back about 2 weeks ago. Remember when Michael Clay basically insinuated this guy doesn't even choose to play special teams for us? I mean, this was a disaster. And you got to look at Howie on this one and say, dude, what the hell? You misevaluated the player as a player. You misevaluated the player as a person. I mean, the guy got beat up by N'Kobe Dean and refuses to play special teams. Here's what Michael Clay said about 2 weeks ago.
Looking in, it looks like Devin White would be a good special teams player. He's athletic. You know, why isn't he playing special teams?
Yeah, and that's a conversation that we have in the organization, you know, what he feels comfortable with, you know. And again, Devin's been in the league multiple years, but he hasn't had a lot of special teams reps. But again, for myself personally, I'll take anybody that wants to play special teams. I'm not saying no, he can't play it or anything of that nature. It's just how it rolls here in the NFL at times, and when it does push come to shove and he's up and he wants to help out, I'm more than welcome. But again, it's an organizational talk that we have. You know, we threw throughout the week, you only have 48 guys up, so however the is divvied up, we'll be able to go with that.
Joe, I mean, this is a phenomenon.
That's incredible.
It's a phenomenon that occurs in the NFL when a guy is a starter for an extended period of time. He no longer views himself as a special teams viable guy. You know, Devin White basically said, yeah, I'm a starting Mike linebacker. You know, I don't cover kicks.
Even though he got beat out by a pretty average, if that starting linebacker.
That was unexpected.
Probably below average with N'Kobe.
You know, N'Kobe Dean played great football during camp. We thought that was a major boost. Like, wow, look at N'Kobe. Great job winning that job. He did play well. But again, we're watching walkthroughs. We're watching, you know, practices, and then it's being reported to us that he's doing well while we're practicing against the other team.
We're not tackling. You know what I mean? You're not tackling.
Exactly. If we're not going to practice the main job of a linebacker, how do you really know how good that linebacker is? And I think that came back and bit both Devin White and the Eagles, they really didn't know how to evaluate these guys properly. When they finally did, Devin White was the odd man out. And because he's a prideful guy, because he's been the leader of a defense that won a Super Bowl, he doesn't perceive himself as a guy who covers kicks
any
longer.
I think you're right. I'll just say this, and I don't say this often when a guy's out of town. He is somebody I will root against.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think we got to know him enough.
I'm with you, Joe. I'm with you.
He chose not to play special teams.
Yeah, he got himself cut. Like, he retweeted stuff, so you get himself cut.
Totally.
Like, get out of here.
I heard the special teams coordinator say, quote, "I'll take anyone who wants to play special teams."
Things didn't go his way, and he acted like a baby. That's what happened. Things didn't go his way, and instead of being a professional, instead of living up to the money that he signed and playing for the team he signed with, he's like, "I'm going to be a baby about this and force my way out."
I agree, James.
Yep. Right, I don't know the details about that. I know that there was something in Tampa that was also contractually motivated last year.
Yeah.
So if we are to just base this on the information we have to go on,
it's pretty clear, guys. It's pretty clear. All right, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Reaction on the Phils. Are you shocked? We are all bitterly disappointed, and where they go from here. Let's get to Ken and Cinnamon, and we'll also play some Alec Bohm audio shortly. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, friends. Happy Friday. How are you today?
Yeah, I think we're all looking forward to getting to the weekend and freaking turning the page on this week.
Oh, my God, yes.
You know?
Listen, first of all, like Devin White, my brain doesn't have room for Devin White right now because I'm still working through what we just witnessed.
Sure.
I am not shocked at all. And part of the reason I'm not shocked is because, you know, my biggest concern about this team for the last 2+ years has been the guy in the dugout. So, look, I don't think there's any way around the fact that he and at least Kevin Long have to go. And what we just witnessed with the Phillies, when you break it down, is almost identical to what we witnessed with the Eagles last season as it all went from.
It's very similar.
Very similar.
Here's the only difference I would say, and I think it's actually a big difference. I feel really confident the Phillies did not become one of the five worst teams in Major League Baseball. I really believe that. They may have become average, but they weren't horrendous. The Eagles actually devolved to the point where they were losing to the dreck of the league, like the Cardinals and the Giants. Like, I actually think, I really believe on December 30th, I think the team the Eagles were fielding was one of the five worst teams in pro football. I really believe that.
Well, they hit 186 in the postseason, so that's bad enough for me. But here's the thing. When that all happened with the Eagles, all the narrative around here was that Nick Sirianni had lost the team, he'd lost the locker room. You know, we heard Seth Joyner every week saying, if you're not coaching it, you're allowing it. So we just watched the exact same thing happen with the Phillies. And there's only two possible scenarios here. Scenario one is Rob Thompson and Kevin Long were telling the players, keep doing what you're doing. Keep going up to the plate and doing exactly what you're doing. And if that's the case, that's a fireable offense. I don't believe that's the case. The alternative is that they were telling the players, look, man, you got to go up there. You got to be selective. You got to work these guys. Don't get yourself out, as Trey Turner said. And they went to the plate, and they just ignored them, in which case that means they tuned out their coaches, which means they lost the team, which means they need to go anyway. There's no scenario here where you can justify keeping Rob Thompson and Kevin Long as the manager of this baseball team. I don't think it's even a question.
Well, the only thing I'd say, Ken, I think there's a little bit of a door number three, which is that some of these guys may just not be capable of making the adjustments you want.
I refuse to believe that Bryce Harper, Trey Turner.
No, I'm not worried about Bryce. It's about Bohm. It's about Stott. It's about.
I refuse to believe that Kyle Schwarber is incapable of walking up to the plate and he's got two strikes on him with a pitcher that's living on the outer half of the plate and saying, you know, I need to just shorten up and serve something the other way if I can get the bat on it. But I need to protect the strike zone. I need to be a professional hitter in the batter's box here. I mean, for God's sake, Jose Iglesias, the 39-year-old, whatever he was, minor leaguer that came up and was a better hitter in this
series. Listen, Ken, I think you bring up a lot of great points, man. I do, and I appreciate the call.
And I think they're fair points with the comparison to Sirianni, because I feel the same. So Sirianni helped the Eagles go to the Super Bowl, okay? Next year they come back, they have an epic collapse.
After a great start.
A great start. Yeah. And a lot of us wanted Sirianni fired.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, Rob Thomson surprisingly helps, you know, the Phillies go to the 2022 World Series. Outright disgusting collapse to Arizona last year. And then they fall apart in the divisional round. And, you know, to me, it's absolutely fair to question whether or not his approach works with this
team. Oh, no,
team.
I agree.
And he had whopper bad decisions in 100%. Those playoff rounds on top of the team, you know, the failures from the team.
So, James, let's just attack that for a second. Which decision do you think was the worst?
Out of the 3 years?
No, this year.
Oh, Jeff Hoffman, bringing Jeff Hoffman back out. Like, I don't even think there's a close number two.
And
I think that was
you would have
far
preferred...
and away. Yeah, I would have started Wheeler. And then if it wasn't Wheeler, I would have started Sanchez. And if it wasn't Sanchez, if I'm going to Estevez, I'm giving Estevez a clean inning to start the inning because he's a freaking closer. And he came
in
one time
wait.
This year.
It was a long
bottom.
He came
bottom, in one time this year, Estevez, with runners on base, with one runner on. Like, he's just not a dirty inning guy. Like, it just, the whole thing, there was no logic to any of it.
Nope.
So here's what I thought was the big biggest mismanagement within that thing. If you're generally of the mindset to not go with Wheeler, and I feel really confident he was of the mindset to
clearly,
not go with Wheeler in that game, then he should have been completely of the mindset to go to Sanchez.
100%.
There's no reason to save Sanchez for a Wheeler game.
Exactly.
And as he talked about it afterwards, it was like, well, Sanchez was going to be my guy back end of the game. And I get the theory, like, if you go in extra innings, you need a guy that can go and go and go and go. But, like,
you gotta get
what are the chances you get there? So I thought it was a tremendous mistake to save Sanchez either for extra innings or for a Zach Wheeler game. That to me, was the thing within the thing that made
I mean,
the
you
least
had
sense.
And you had a lead there. Like, we all get upset about the runs, and we should be, but, like, you had a lead. If you could just hang on to the lead, you win the game.
Yeah. All right, let's listen to Alec Boehm. And for everyone driving, I encourage you to hold that steering wheel tight. Okay? Because I'm telling you, you're not going to like it. This is bad. This is bad. What you're about to hear when it comes to, like, I am what I am, I do what I do. Now, the hammer is what he is, and he does what he does, and he'll probably win coming up at 7:45.
That is your attitude.
It is my attitude.
You know what, though? If you're, and I hate to say this, but if you're super successful at what you do, you can have that attitude.
The hammer!
James.
Hammer time, baby!
I mean, he wins. It's inarguable. It is what it
no,
is.
No, he's coming off a loss.
There you go.
I got to have a little
That's
bit more
right
humble
attitude.
Pie today.
Bring him down to earth a little bit.
So, rightfully so. So, Boehm, it's like, dude, all right, listen to Alec Boehm the other day after the game.
I thought this entire, all of this was infuriating. Everything, the way he was holding himself, the way he was speaking, it felt
indignant.
Like, yeah, it really did. It
it's
felt
a great
like
word for
none
it.
Of this really mattered to him. He was saying this stuff and it was just going over the head of everyone. Like, he was saying it because he knew he had to, not because it means something to him.
Well, I'll say this. The part that you're about to hear isn't he said it because he had to. It's he said it because he thinks it, and it's not good. And it may be a reason why he does get ushered out the door. Here's Alec Boehm postgame on his approach at the plate.
When I swing at the first pitch, I usually put it in play and hit it. I don't foul it off. I don't swing and miss. So the at-bat ends right there, and then I don't get a hit. And, oh, he's swinging at the first pitch. He needs to see pitches. But I'm up there. I'm an aggressive hitter. I'm not going to change who I am. That's how I've been my whole career. That's what's got me here. And if they throw the ball over the plate, I'm ready to hit it. And I'm not going to think too much about all that other stuff and just go up there. And every time I stand there with the bat on my shoulder and see a pitch, it's right down the middle. So, you know, it's a double-edged sword.
That's a disaster.
Oh, I can't believe he said that.
That's a disaster.
I can't believe he said that.
That's a disaster. And the heart of it, and
this
there was a lot of tentacles.
La land,
the heart
man.
Of it is, quote, I'm not going to change who I am.
I'm going to do whatever I want, and I don't care what the coaches, what the front office, what anyone tells me, I'm going to do me.
That's what he said there.
That's really bad.
No, because he's different than everyone else. When he swings at that first pitch.
Oh, he hits it always. He hits it. He never misses. He doesn't swing and miss.
He's different. He really is different than everyone else.
I'm infuriated. I'm infuriated.
Yeah, James, I think of everything that was said post-game, I actually think that's the worst.
Yeah, it's incredible.
That and the Trey answer are by far the two worst things I've heard by miles.
This encapsulates how immature and how just out there, how out there this is. He believes something that I don't know how any coach or any teammate, like, please, someone pull him aside.
Well, that's the problem. I'm sure they have. They probably tried it and it didn't work.
They benched him.
Or to Ken's point.
They benched him. Well, that's to Rhea's point. Great call.
And that's why. It should be over. That's why. You know, they've got
a big mark against them.
It was 2 years ago that he said he hated this place, and we figured he'd figured it out. Now, behind closed doors, he clearly has not. And that's why we are where we are.
I will just sprinkle in this thought, and I think it's got to be weighed in. Guys, I know how aggravated you are. I am
done,
too.
Joe. Okay.
James, here's the one thing I'll say. One of the biggest things about sports is to be careful moving off of a pretty good, relatively young player too.
Well, he's getting paid, though. He's about to get paid. He's got one more year. Like, if he had 4 years left, it'd be one thing.
But James,
plus, your best prospect is a shortstop who's going to move over to third base. Like, your best prospect. Like,
Bohm was second in the National League in doubles, though. I mean, that's not inconsequential.
Yeah, he was first in the league by, like, eight doubles heading into August. Like, the guy wilted over
he
the second half of the season.
Okay. All right, well, look, everyone can react on Bohm. When you hear that, what is your reaction? I mean, that is a disaster.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.